From the studios of Tucson Business Radio X, recorded in the Stewart Title corporate offices on Broadway, you are now listening to The Mark Bishop Show. And now here's your host, Mark Bishop.
Well, we all know that California has been through a tough time with the devastating fires, and insurers are financing the rebuilding of the state's wildfire-ravaged communities. In a moment, we're going to be speaking with Sean Kevligan, the Chief Executive Officer of the Insurance Information Institute. I mean, California's auto, home, and business insurers, they paid out $13 billion in wildfire-caused claims back in 2018, and nearly $12 billion because of 2017's wildfires. Now, according to the state's Department of Insurance, these monies were used by Californians to purchase new cars, rebuild homes, and restore businesses. But California's highly regulated insurance markets often make it difficult for auto, home, and business insurers to price their policies to reflect the risks of operating in the state. So what's going on, Sean?
Mark, thank you. Good to be here. And really what we're seeing going on is a reflection of more Californians. And you could argue that this is not just in California, but other wildfire-prone states like Texas, like Arizona, like Colorado, where people are wanting to live in more wildfire-prone areas. As a result, and unfortunately in California, we've seen an increased risk in people being exposed to the dangers of wildfires. In fact, if you look at just the costs and the payouts, as you mentioned, and you go back to the 20s of the top 20 wildfires in the state, you had 15 of the top 20 actually occurring since 2003, and more than half of that 15, eight of them actually were in 2017 and 2018. So we've got a situation where we're seeing a trend of people living and building in areas that are more wildfire prone. And when that happens, they have a higher risk. And when you have a higher risk, it's going to cost more to insure that risk. And so as we're seeing that, as we're seeing these trends significantly increase, right, for $2, nearly $2 were paid out in terms of claims, as you mentioned earlier, for every dollar that was brought in premium. So something needs to give for some insurers. Insurers need to diversify their own risks. We're an industry that wants to be around to be able to keep our promises and pay claims. And so when that happens, we need to make sure that we're pricing the risks accordingly, making sure we're educating consumers about that, but also asking consumers and others to take preventative measures to make themselves more resilient. You know, insurance is only a first step in resilience. There are other measures that people can take.
Yeah. Well, you know, in fairness, insurers get a bad rap sometimes, don't you? And at the end of the day, gee, $1 coming in for $2 going out, where's the profit? You got to be in it to be able to do what you want to do properly. It costs money to run an insurance company and so on. But, you know, what frustrates me is local councils and other areas, the cleanups, the things that can start the brush fires, the things that, you know, sometimes it's just left there for ages. What do you do about that? What have you found in discussions about that?
Well, we've absolutely found in discussions that what you're talking about and what you would call fuel for the fire is more prevalent, and people are less informed and understanding that you know ways that they're actually landscaping the residence and such could be a way to trigger more risk in terms of being prone to wildfires. So you do have, like I said, more and more customers living in these areas, and we're trying our best to make sure that they understand, one, where they're living, what the risks are, and then if they are living in those areas, what preventative ways that they need to think about in terms to make sure that they're more resilient. But in some cases, I mean, in a case of a wildfire, it's very hard in some cases to withstand the risk altogether. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've got to make sure that customers understand that as they want to live in these areas, I understand that these areas are beautiful areas and beautiful parts of our country. There is risk that goes along with those areas. And comparatively, you could look at the eastern seaboard of the United States and beautiful areas and beautiful ocean views. But again, those are areas that are prone to hurricanes. And we need to think about that in terms of the risk and how we're pricing that risk in ways that we can make our communities more resilient.
Well, it's almost like saying, you know, it's all very well, as you just said, you know, beautiful areas, lovely views out there with the animals and the trees and everything's Mickey Mouse. But you know what? Your insurance is going to be triple. I mean, something has got to give, hasn't it? There's got to be an in-between. Listen, what's a non-renewal notice and how does it differ from an insurance policy cancellation?
So the first thing to understand from an industry perspective is that the non-renewal notice is something that a step that's taken with great reluctance. You know, as you mentioned earlier, insurers want to be in business, and in order to be in business, they need to sell policies and have more customers. Yeah. But in these situations where they look at themselves and the size and the scope of the insurer matters, and you have to really look at an insurer by each individual state because they're all regulated in that way. If they look at these areas and they look at their customers and they understand that, you know, to insure this customer would put at risk them being able to pay claims in other instances down the road, they need to inform them of that, that they're simply, you know, their risk is simply too much to withstand. But what we do say is that there is an opportunity where we actually can have a, where the customer can contact their insurer and they can see if there's something they can do proactively, creating some of those what we call defensible spaces around the residence and see if there's any way to still secure that policy. However, if they still can't, we encourage the customers to contact an insurance professional and determine what is available to them, because there are options. California is one of the largest markets in the world for insurance. And so as much as some of our member companies reluctantly need to issue a non-renewal, there are still options available. Options available in what we call an admitted market, which is really those insurers that you know and hear about and have a household name, brand name that we all know. Are in the market, but even then, you can have a specialty insurance market. We have a specialty insurance market that can cover even higher risks than some of those admitted markets are able to cover. So, and then as a last resort, you've got the California, in California at least, you have what they call the fair access to insurance requirement.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. That's what is California? Well, what I did want to ask you was, what can Californians do? I mean, if either their renters or their homeowners insurer renews them, then they've got to look for these other bodies you were talking about, these other entities.
Absolutely, you have choices. We have choices where we live too, and in these unfortunate situations, sometimes that needs to be taken into consideration. If you're living in an area that's simply very high in risk and very prone to wildfires, you know, customers need to take that into consideration and in where they're living. That's not an easy outcome, right? Nobody wants to have to move.
Your job
can go. That might come into.
That's it. The job.
Yeah, exactly.
Job,
these are natural disasters in many ways, and so it's very hard to prevent if it's in an area that's simply prone to the risk. So in California's case, they set up the FAIR plan that I mentioned earlier, and this is an insurance pool which assures the availability of basic property insurance to a customer who's unable to obtain coverage otherwise. And so it could and it will and oftentimes today cover fire related risks. The FAIR plan is not a state agency, and it's not a taxpayer funded entity. This is provided by those member companies that are licensed to actually service and have business insurance business in the state. And then each company participates in the plan's profits, losses, and expenses in proportion to its statewide market share. So this is a what we kind of call a property insurer of last resort, but it is an option for those customers out there that simply need that.
So just explain to me again the difference between the admitted market, specialty insurers, and California's FAIR plan.
Yeah, so again, the admitted market is really, I think, simply what we understand and what we see and is very heavily marketed throughout individual states and on television and such, you know, what I call your household name insurers. These are where the work directly with the regulator to ensure that the market is priced accordingly. And they have the appropriate amount of risk to take on what's out there in terms of risk and insurance. But again, there are simply cases where you will have a risk that's higher than what this admitted market can withstand. And in that case, they will have a what we call a specialty insurer. And these cover excess and surplus lines for the insurer. They cover higher risk properties. But in those cases, you know, because you have to price the risk accordingly, it will be a higher cost for a surplus or a specialty line insurer. And then the FAIR plan is simply, you know, when the risk is so high that the customer will need something of last resort, there is a plan that allows them to qualify for that. But even qualifying for that plan, in most cases, it still does not meet the full needs of the customer, right? Yeah. There's just simply not enough there available based on how much risk is in the state.
Well, people are going to do some research. I mean, you have a site, the III. Is there people there that can, can people go there, you know, and study up, read up, and get some help?
Absolutely. III.org is a resource that the insurance industry set up our institute 60 years ago. We are there not to sell insurance, but to inform the customer about insurance, how it works, how it can work for them. You know, you have to think of insurance as a financial first responder. You know, yeah. once the catastrophe happens and it goes away, then it's insurance that's there that's helping them get back economically. So we want to educate people about what's available to them, how they can use it to their advantage, and even how they can take steps beyond insurance to prevent and make themselves more resilient.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's pretty good. Well, Sean Kevilligan, he's the Chief Executive Officer, ladies and gentlemen, of the III. And he's been a busy boy. He was with Zurich Insurance, Citigroup. But I did want to ask you, there was a time that you worked for President George W. Bush in his administration in the U.S. Department of the Treasury as a spokesperson for economic issues and eventually became Senior Advisor for the Office of Tax Policy. What were those days like, Sean? Good?
It was working and talking about the economy for President Bush was a very rewarding time in my career. I think what it also taught me and why I in 2008 shifted into the insurance industry was this industry was and did was able to withstand, and I was surrounded by economists in Treasury and in the budget office, mm-hmm. and you could tell that something was happening with the economy in 2007 and 2008. And when I looked at insurance as a job path, it became very clear that this industry, because of the model, because it keeps its risk pools around, because it invests for the long term so that it can keep its promises to its customers down the road, it was going to withstand the financial crisis better than most financial services.
Right.
And that's really what happened. And so today you actually have insurance and its contribution to the overall GDP and the economy has surpassed banking. It actually represents about 3% of GDP in this country in terms of the economy. And that, again, is higher than banking, which is around 2.8. And it's actually double the securities industry. So the reputation of insurance, and many customers don't appreciate that it is there for them, and it will help them withstand catastrophe and disaster. It also helps us withstand disaster and catastrophe in our own economy and keeping that up and running. And for me, you know, learning about the economy in the Department of Treasury and the Budget Office, I was also able to really embrace the insurance industry as a way that keeps the engine of the economy moving.
Well, thank God you did, and thanks for what you did, Sean. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Sean Kevilligan, the Chief Executive Officer of the Insurance Information Institute. Thank you, Sean. Have a happy holiday, and be safe, okay?
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great holiday.
You're welcome. Goodbye now.